Hey guys, it's RJ.
And Angie.
And this is the Rich by Intention podcast.
Our guests today are Andre and Maisha, a husband and wife team and hosts of I Don't Do Toilets podcast. They're passionate about helping others decrease their debt and increase their income so that they can retire early and comfortably.
In this episode, we discuss how they didn't see eye to eye about debt at first, but eventually worked together to pay off $200,000 of debt. Yes, $200,000 of debt. The goal is to live off of passive income and retire comfortably so that they can dedicate more time to the things that bring them joy.
You're going to get a lot out of this episode. And as always, thank you for tuning in. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Also, get our free cheat sheet to get on the same page about money with your partner. The link is in the show notes.
Thanks for tuning in.
You guys are just a great couple doing awesome things. So for our listeners who may not know who you are, can you just tell them a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. So I'm Maisha. Really, I think what the listeners probably would want to know is, like, I work a 9-to-5. I mean, I am a corporate girl. I started off as an entrepreneur. And it's so funny because when we met and we got married, he was the 9-to-5er and I was the entrepreneur and we switched. And ever since then, he's been thriving in the entrepreneurship realm and I've been working the corporate side. And so my whole thing with money has not been the best in terms of like emotional, because I come from a family that we had some money issues. And so basically we're just trying to, on our podcast, trying to share our experience and like our background so everybody can understand that it's, when you're married, it's not that easy, but at the same time, if you can kind of get with the program and get in the same flow, you can work it out.
Wonderful.
As far as finances.
Excellent. Excellent. I am Andre. I am from the OHTN. I grew up in Ohio and I am an engineer by trade. So growing up in Ohio, I was destined to be a part of the big three. Unfortunately, I went to the manufacturing route. So I wouldn't say unfortunately, but fortunately, I went through the manufacturing route and I was able to get my education in engineering and land my position with Harley Davidson, which was like a just a dream job. So it gave me an opportunity to learn that this wasn't for me. It gave me opportunity to learn that it was not for me. I relocated to Texas where I met my wife. I was working at Texas Instruments, still in manufacturing. I was just blown away that she had her own law practice. Just something that was just something I just could not fathom. I said, I grew up, go to school, get you a job, work 40 years. That was the mentality. That was what was exposed to me. And that's what I was destined to do. So when I met her and saw that she had her own law firm and there was other like-minded colleagues of hers, she had her own business. They had their own business. It was like, whoa, I can do this. So so that was the introduction to entrepreneurship again, which was something that was not even in the stratosphere of my mind.
That's amazing, right? How, you know, one of you guys started as a entrepreneur. Now, you know, you're a corporate and vice versa. So that's really, really interesting. But how long have you guys been married?
15 years in May 2022, right. 15 years.
Wow.
Wow. So congratulations.
15 years. That's amazing. So tell us how you met.
You want to tell us?
We met at a church fellowship where it was a single ministry event. And there was a bunch of women and it was three guys.
Wow. And so, you were the lucky one. Oh my God.
I was the lucky one. Right. So our initial introduction to each other was in the kitchen where.
No. Let me hop in a little bit.
We got two stories.
I know. We got to go. We got to back it up.
We got to back it up.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's back it up.
Cause we were at church service one day and we didn't know each other, but I saw him and he went down to give a confession or something like that. And he was talking real slow. And I was like, why is he talking so slow? My goodness, speed it up. You know, in church, you're supposed to be thinking about the sermon, and I'm thinking like, man, he is so goofy. Why is he talking like this? And so I didn't think anything of it. So I just kind of went on and we went about. So now we can fast forward to the singles ministry. I didn't give him even the time of day because awesome. I already thought he was goofy.
That's always the story, right?
Like zero. So now we're
in the kitchen.
So now we're in the kitchen. And I see her, she see me, I'm at the sink, she's at the counter, and I am like, hey, you know, no acknowledgement. We made eye contact. You didn't say nothing to me. I didn't say nothing to you. I'm like, this is awkward. So I kind of say a sarcastic remark to break the ice. And she has some chocolate ice cream in her hand. And I'm like, I like chocolate. So I kind of just spun something around the chocolate ice cream just to grab her attention. And then from that point, that was a great icebreaker because we were able to pick up a conversation and spark.
It was horrible.
It was something corny.
Yeah, I like chocolate. Okay.
That is a good pickup line. Okay.
Wasn't no game or nothing. It was just authentic. I like chocolate. You happen to be chocolate.
So. Straight shooter.
And she happened to be chocolate. So it worked out well for me.
Okay. So what was it about Maisha out of all those women at this church event? Like, what was it about her that stood out?
At that point, it was still early in the game. It was afterwards where I got to understand her character, the woman that she is, the heart that she has. And that was it. So I don't know at that point at the event if there was an aha moment at that event, but it wasn't until afterwards where we stayed in contact because we did exchange emails and when we know at that time it was emails and phone numbers. So we wasn't, you know, social media wasn't, you know, what it is today. Right. So we did exchange information. And from that, the conversations picked up, the interest picked up. So that's how it all evolved.
I love it. And so Maisha, what was it about Andre? Like, why? I'll rephrase the question. Like, what made you decide that this was the man that you wanted to marry?
Oh, man. Andre is really just number one, he's very honest. And I had previously been dealing with a lot of dishonesty. And I like the fact he was just a breath of fresh air. And we had conversations and it would be like, I was just so comfortable with talking with him and we'd be on the phone. I can't remember that comedian that was like, I mean, I'm sleepy, but I'm not asleep, you know? So we'd be on the phone talking
all night
and we would be talking like all night. And it was about, you know, not just superficial things. We were talking about spiritual things. We were talking about things in the future, how we, you know, just various things that I didn't have that comfort with others. And so I remember one of my girlfriends asking me, you know, do you love Andre? And we had only been dating maybe, 3 or 4 months?
It was short.
And I was like, yeah, but I'll never tell him that.
Did you have a feeling?
I did because, again, we, you know, everything was happening so organically. And the character, it was something at that point in my life where I was really honing in on the personality and the character and not always stuck with all the physical and the superficial stuff. So it was an opportunity for me to really embrace what was transpiring in my life at the time. So I did have some hints because I was reading the body language, you know, conversations were picking up. We was getting deeper into conversations. And I think our debt conversation was like, okay, she's a keeper. All right, she's a keeper. We got some work to do, but she's a keeper.
Wait. Yeah. What was that conversation? Tell us, like, what was
and when did it happen? Like, how far into your relationship did you guys start talking about money?
Well, it was on our first early date.
I
want to
say it's like our second.
Early date. Yeah. So we were at Denny's.
Second date.
We were only at Denny's because of the time of night we were out and that was the only place that was open. So,
yeah,
you know, it was close to where she lived at the time. So we were at Denny's and this was probably date 2 or 3. This wasn't. Yeah, we wasn't too far.
Yeah.
You know, right. we had spent a lot of time on the phone. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she was like, hey, you got to take me out somewhere. You know, we got to do something.
We got to go outside.
Yeah. You know, we got to do something. So. It was the holiday season And so all the lights. Uh-huh. So we went to a light show. I think it was at the zoo.
Yeah.
So just they had the zoo all lit up. So we went walking around the zoo and the park that's around that. And went to Denny's and we started talking because I knew she was a lawyer at that point. I knew she had a law degree. So at that point, I'm like, hey, I graduated. I'm like $8,000, $5,000 in debt. Paid off first year, gone by, good riddance. But I knew an attorney's law degree gonna cost some money. So I was just trying to, you know, finagle my way, trying to finesse into this conversation, and it just didn't work. So I just was like, hey, straight shooter, like, how much debt are you in?
Well, before that, he was like, oh, she's an attorney. Okay.
Well,
she makes a lot of money.
That occurred during one of those phone conversations, right? Because when we were explaining, you know, our careers, I did kind of perk up a little bit. Like, okay. You know, because I had that perception that, you know, lawyers make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Yep. Same thing people have when I tell them I'm an engineer. Like, you make a lot of money.
They assume,
I really don't make a lot of money. So
we were at Denny's and he asked me, he said, so how much student loan debt do you have? And I was like, oh, maybe about $125,000 or so, you know? And he gave this look like, are you kidding me? And in my mind, I'm like, I'm an attorney. Like, I'm going to make the money to get it back. I was so nonchalant
about it.
And I'm thinking, you know, it's an investment in my education. So, like, why do you have a problem with this?
Right.
And his look was like, I don't know if this is going to work out.
I got to rethink this. I got to rethink these phone calls.
And he really did. Like, he actually went home and he was like, I just don't know if I'm going to be able to do this because he's debt averse. Like, he doesn't want, at that time, he was not about having any debt. Like he said, he paid off all his student loans in the first year. But I, not only was I an attorney, so I went to law school, but I also went to a private undergrad. So I had quite a bit of student loans, but he was like, I like you, but I don't know about this.
Yeah.
So, let me back up to why I didn't have any debt. So I'm military. Mm-hmm. So they took care of my tuition. I served Ohio National Guard while I was in college. So they took care of my tuition. And then I was a resident assistant for several years. You know, I probably pushed the limits on that. So they took care of room and board. So I didn't have any opportunity. And I worked 3 or 4 jobs while I was on campus. So I didn't have an opportunity to rack up a lot of debt until my last year when I decided to move off campus and, you know, be in an apartment off campus. And that's where I accrued most of my debt. So through scholarships, the Ohio National Guard, resident assistant, I was able to get through 6 years of college with no debt.
So, okay. So you're on this second or third date. You find out that Maisha has over $100,000 of student loan debt. However, she is a lawyer, so hopefully she will bring in the income to help pay that down. But what, when you went home that night, like, what was it that made you say, you know what, I might have to second guess this relationship?
The amount of money, be honest with you, but it still didn't outweigh the character. Again, I said, I was past that stage where I was looking at things from a superficial standpoint and really want to look at the core of the person. And her character, I just keep coming back to her character, and it was just awesome. So knowing that a plan could be put in place, because I'm a huge planner. I like to execute. I like to work the plan and plan to work. That's been my philosophy for a long time. Plan to work and work the plan. So that gave us an opportunity, or gave me an opportunity to say, okay, we can work within this. It's something, again, she invested in her education. Many of us have done the same thing. And I know we can pay it off. It's just about how long it will take for us to pay it off. Mm-hmm. So that's where, you know, it alarmed me more or less because she was so nonchalant about it.
Right.
It wasn't really the amount. It was just like, you know, brushed off the shoulders. Like, you know, 125 ain't nothing.
It's like, so, it's pocket change.
yeah, pocket change. So, but again, we were having that conversation so early in the stage, which is, I don't know. You know, I just I can't recall having those type of conversations with potentials. Like, hey, you know, we're talking about debt this early in the game.
Yeah. No, one thing that I think that's awesome that you talked about money so early into the relationship, because that's something that we want to encourage other couples to do while they're dating. Because a lot of times couples don't start talking about debt, how much debt they have until I do, right? Mm-hmm. Or even after I do. So I think that's really great that you were willing to look more at Maisha's character versus the amount of debt that she had, that you said that you weren't into the superficial anymore, that her character outweighed anything else. And so I want to understand more about this plan, because you said that you knew that you can put a plan in place. So was this something that you did while you were dating, or was the plan after you were married?
I'll say first, the other thing that conversation did with us is help us to recognize we have totally different mentalities when it comes to money when we first got married. I'm very emotional when it comes to money. He's very fact-driven. Like, this is what the number says. Numbers are not emotional. And so that helped us to learn very early on, we have two different types of characters when it comes to money. And so when it came to the plan, we got married and we talked about how we would pay my loan down, but we didn't initially execute a plan because we were still trying to get on the same page in terms of I'm emotional, he's data driven. So we would have budget meetings. Cool. And he would bring spreadsheets upon spreadsheets upon spreadsheets. You know, with me being an attorney, I like to read. I like words. I like to analyze. But when it comes to numbers, that's not my biggest asset. It's just words and learn, reading something and breaking it down and interpreting. I can do that. But when it comes to numbers, I'm number one, I have a family, my mother and father, they had an issue with money. And so I carried those emotions with me into our marriage. And so when it came to the plan, I wasn't always on board because I was just like, I would be upset. I would be defensive. I would be crying. It was overwhelming for me. And he would have pivot tables and I'd be like, what are you doing? I don't even know. He's like, you don't see this? Like, you don't see this number? No, I don't.
All the colors.
Yeah. It was too much.
So let me add some context to that. I'm an engineer. Okay. I'm military. All right. Both systems, checks and balances, system oriented. I was also working probably about 3 years prior to us meeting. Mm-hmm. And I had already been in a routine of budgeting and making sure that I have all my finances in line. So when I come to the table, I'm like, oh, okay, I've been doing this. You need to get on board because this works. And that was the mentality.
All or nothing.
Yeah. It's like, mm-hmm. Hey, this is proven, because I've been doing this and I've been able to achieve in this short amount of time working. And now that you are part of the equation, just get on board. But it didn't quite work like that.
So how did you meet her where she was?
How did you get on the same page?
Well, it was through the Dave Ramsey program. Mm-hmm. And it was through her learning that program or being introduced to that program and her finding the confidence in that program. And then when she brought it to me, I was like, yo, I've been saying the same thing. You want some date?
Oh, so you hit it with I told you so.
Man, yes. Basically.
So, because
the thing was, I was tired of us arguing and just having, we would have conflict every time we had a budget meeting. Yes. Every other place, we were working with each other. But when we talk about money, we would always be in conflict. And I got tired of it. So I was like, okay, let me go see what we can do. And Dave Ramsey was coming to Houston. And so I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll go and I'll just check it out, And so when I got there, I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. I could probably do this.
And you did that all on your own.
Yeah.
Like I was not aware that she was doing that. So once it was presented to me, she's like, hey, I got a solution. And I was like, you know, I can buy into this because, again, Dave Ramsey, a system. So military engineer, Dave Ramsey, no problem. I can do this. I'm just saying that that's the same thing I've been telling you.
So what was it? What was it about, you know, that system that really worked for you, Maisha? Like, because your husband's been here telling you, right, you know, you need to do this, this, this. But what was it about that system that really, you know, lit a light bulb in your head?
So when Dave Ramsey was explaining the system, he was explaining it and breaking it down because we each, so like, I know that I'm a free spirit. I know that, but I didn't know that until he said, you know, there's always one person who is the free spirit and one person who's a budgeter. And I was like, okay, I'm the free spirit, right. You know? So he was just talking about how, you know, if you're the free spirit, you got to get on board in some way. You got to be vested in the process. And he said, you don't necessarily have to put it together, but at least be vested. You have to at least change one line item. And then you, and then this is the kicker. I wanted my own money. So I got, you know, I go to work every day and I was like, I need my own money, right, you know? So, and he was like, well, we're budgeting. No, I need my own money. So, you know, he talked about the envelope system and basically, you know, you guys, you give each other money to work with and nobody has to answer to the other person about it, you know? So that got me on board. But the main thing was, is that I didn't want the conflict. It was just, you know, I get enough conflict with what I do daily that at home, I don't want all the conflict.
Right.
So I was like, okay, let me figure out what I can do to aid in the solution. And that was it. I said, I'll go to Dave Ramsey and figure it out.
You know, I love what you said there. What can I do to aid in the solution? So oftentimes, like married couples, we all go through conflict. We all have a partner that may have more strengths in one area than we do. But I think what you said was, you know, how can I think of an answer to the problem versus, you know, just creating more problems, you know, and how do I meet my spouse where they are? And I think that's what you really did, right? By taking the initiative to see, okay, let me, you know, try to appease my husband with the budgeting, but let me find something that'll work for me that will help me just kind of synthesize and process the task at hand that my husband is encouraging me to do.
Yeah. And basically what you did, you went to a third party neutral expert, and same with, if the arguments were outside of money, maybe it would be a counselor or a business together. Maybe we just go into, you know, someone who else has a business owner and talking through it, who's a couple. So I love that, you know, you took that initiative.
Yeah. So it sounds like you used the baby steps to pay off your $125,000 of student loan debt, but how long did it take you, like from start to finish?
A couple years.
I'd say two.
Yeah, a couple years, because we had the Camry, your car, the 20 that we still drive, by the way, 2009. Mm-hmm. We still drive, so no need to, you know, buy nothing new. Still work. So we paid off the Camry first, because it was like the snowball effect.
Yeah.
So we paid off the Camry, and then it's shortly after that, then we paid off the student loans. Mm-hmm. So, and then I also had a vehicle that needed to be paid off. So we paid that off as well.
Right.
Okay. So
awesome.
We were snowballing. We didn't have revolving credit card debt. So we were able to, you know, achieve that. I was still working. She was still working. We're both gainfully employed. Now we have a system that we both buy into. We both appreciate. She came to me, expressed, you know, here's where I'm struggling, or here's where I need to improve. And I'm like, okay, I can buy into this and I can help. And then I can also see some things where I can be like, okay, I need to make some changes as well, so I can allow my wife to thrive and feel comfortable as far as, you know, being part of the team. So I had to make some changes myself.
Yeah. So the total amount of debt that you paid off was $200,000, which is phenomenal.
And I have a franchise as well. You know, we paid off the debt of our franchise as well.
That was just
recent. Wow. What franchise is it, if you don't mind?
It's a photography franchise.
Nice.
And we're global, or actually national based. So I bought that in 2012 and I paid it off in 2018. 2018. Yeah, 2018. Awesome.
Congratulations. So you guys are now totally debt free.
Yep.
Except for our house. We got to work on the house.
And we're still on the fence about the house. We like to move.
So. We're not going to move anymore. Like,
I've lived in Houston since 2005.
Oh gosh.
And this is our fourth house.
And don't ask us why, but one of those houses actually is one of our real estate notes that we have. Exactly. So.
Okay.
But we have a pattern to move every 5 years.
So we're not going to do it again.
Just looking at the historical data.
Yes. Numbers driven.
Exactly. So
looking at the numbers.
I guess I'm just curious to know, do you guys combine your finances or do you have separate accounts?
We combine them.
I will say though, remember I told you that I like to have my own money. We do have one separate account where he gets his amount and I get my amount. And that's what I spend, you know, using that amount from that account. So I am a spender. He's a saver. So if I run out, I kind of go to him a little bit. But
like, hey,
even though we have the separate accounts, it's coming from our joint account.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's just an automatic transfer. Yeah. So we, you know, it's no private accounts.
Right.
So it's all within the same bank system.
Right.
It's automatically deducted. We both can see it. And that was probably the biggest, I guess, accommodation, if I can use that word, that was like the aha moment. Like, okay, you need your money. Let's plan for that. So you can spend it. There's no conversation of what you spend it on.
Right.
That is yours. That is what we have budgeted for. You spend it how you spend it. And it's not a conversation. It's not a part of the discussion. And that was probably the peacemaker to end the tug of war, so to speak. So, and that's been a blessing.
We have spending accounts as well, and I think it's definitely necessary, so you can do what you want, no questions asked, and give you some level of independence, right? Where it's like, hey, you know, I'm spending 100%.
So like, did you decide to combine finances as soon as you got married, or was this something that you worked up toward?
I think as soon as
we got married.
It was never an issue, not that I can recall.
That's good. No, that's awesome, guys. I love how you guys just work together. Maisha, you just took initiative and just was like, okay, I got to meet my husband halfway. And I think that's just a good message for our listeners, right? Like, how can we meet our spouse halfway? How can we find the system that works for us, you know, but to help, you know, just get on the same page with our spouse? Because that's what it's all about.
I was just going to say, so to add a bit more color to it, when we got married, I feel like we were not even in the same book. And after we got married and we kind of worked on it, we are in the same book. We're still kind of in different chapters. So we're working toward the same page at this point. But I think we're getting closer and closer. And I think it's really not him. It's still me. It's still kind of that, like, having to work on with budgets and all that stuff, but we still are working toward it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I just want to say, a lot of people chase perfection, but it's all about the progress, right? Like, you know, a lot of times when you get married, you think everything's going to be perfect and there's harmony, but it's like, no, it's getting better than you were the day before as a team, right? And reminding each other, hey, what is your mission? What is your purpose? And I know we talked about it earlier, but one thing that you talked about was, you know, vision boards and, you know, goals that you have. How helpful was that during the journey as well?
Very instrumental.
Yeah.
Very, very instrumental. I never did vision boards. I would like write down goals, but seeing on a vision board, it was just, has just been, you know, such an eye-opening experience. And this will be we do them every Christmas season. So
this would be girls.
This would be our third season, our third year that we've really tried to implement seeing the vision board and seeing how impactful that has been. It's just been amazing.
Yeah. And we have our girls do it too. So it's just like a family event that we do every year. For me, I'm very visual. I like to be able to see what I'm working toward. And I actually, if you see my little office space upstairs, I have it in front of me and I look at it every day, you know, so I can be able to see what we're working toward. So
I did want to add, we have evolved. So there's no more spreadsheets, no more color, no pivot charts, none of that. So we use technology at our events, and everything is all in an app. And I log in so we all can see it. So it's no more paper trails, no more Excel spreadsheets, none of that.
No, that's awesome. And I love the vision board. You know, like RJ and I, we do the same thing around Christmas, you know, closer to New Year's. And, you know, that's something that we want to implement within our own family. We have a 2-year-old daughter. So as she gets older, she'll probably be able to do it this year, actually. Her first year doing it. But no, it's like so helpful just to set that vision that you want to see over the next year. Cast your vision, you know, make it plain and, you know, make sure that you see it every single day. Make sure you reference it. Make sure you and your spouse reference it together so that you guys are on the same page about your goals and the vision that you cast for your family. So I love that, guys. That's awesome. You know, we're going to wrap up now, but what's one thing you want listeners just to take from this episode, specifically married couples?
Have a plan, make a plan and work the plan, make the plan work. So sit down and get on the same page, or make a commitment to get on the same page so the two can blossom as one. And then if you have children, the family can blossom, because it is very imperative, very important. We do look back at some things where we have felt that had we been on the same page a little bit earlier, we can be a farther advance in some of our visions, some of the investments, et cetera. So we've made some poor financial decisions as well. So just
so bounce back.
We've bounced back. So we've been good with the bounce back. But so that would be my thing.
And I would say just having the understanding, like part of marriage is being able to understand your spouse. I think we have a good understanding of what our strengths and our weaknesses are. Right. And if you can do that, then you can play on those things. So
love that. Love that. That's a great tips, actionable advice for couples. So as we wrap up, where can people find you? I know you also have great podcasts as well, where you kind of talk about these things. Can you let our listeners know where they can find you?
So you can find us if you're on iTunes or Spotify at I Don't Do Toilets Podcast. We're on IG at I Don't Do Toilets Podcast as well.
We love it. We love everything you drop. You drop so much information, and thank you for just sharing your story. Thank you for tuning into this episode. If you like what you heard, hit the subscribe button and leave a review. Follow us on Instagram at Rich by Intention for money tips and inspiration.